Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV and our coverage of HBO's Succession. So this is our, second episode. We covered, obviously, episode one. We did a little bit of a season four hype episode. We'll be coming out with these kind of maybe shorter-ish episodes after every single one of the actual show episodes. So if you're liking what you're hearing, obviously the best way to support us and to keep hearing what you like is to subscribe on whatever you are listening on. YouTube as well, if you're watching, as we created this beautiful ATN News Network frame that, so we can feel like we're like Kerry, actually, and we're actually kind of on air. We're the talent that actually made it through the audition process. And then if you're interested more about the podcast as a whole, BingetownTV.com is a great place to just kind of get everything that we do all in one spot. It's broken up into essentially all of the shows that we've covered, which at this point is just an absolute metric fuck ton. We're closing in on 360 episodes. It's been almost 3 years. We're about a month away from our 3-year anniversary, which is crazy to think about. So if you like what we're doing with Succession, you're going to love what we did probably with almost every other show we covered. So definitely dive into all of that information. And also, we guess we just started our Succession kind of specific feed. So it's we have a specific Succession feed. So if you're listening via that, then be sure to also subscribe to our Bingetown TV main feed where all of the other shows we cover are on that as well. So now with the Bingetown business out of the way, we're going to dive into the Succession business, episode two, Rehearsal. In our style of episodes, we'll start off with an executive summary. It is my turn, so I will go. Excuse me. So I'll thank everyone for coming, first of all, just like Kathleen did last week. But okay, so executive summary is Logan gives an early Christmas present to all the clock-watching fucks at ATN by showing up unannounced and delivering a rousing speech while planting a pirate flag from atop his pulpit of printer paper. The Rebel Alliance, after being delayed by helicopter shenanigans and a quick chat with Stewie and Sandy, bump into a frazzled Willa on her way out of her and Connor's rehearsal dinner. After some terrible dating advice from Roman, POTUS Scrotus convinces the Alliance to head to a real bar with chicks and medical experiments gone wrong for the usual, a Belgian Weiss beer, not Hoegaarden, though. Carrie's infamous audition tape creates a delicate political situation for Tom, which he naturally pawns off onto Greg, who then proceeds to tell Carrie that a focus group of boomers and twerps said they had a problem with her arms. Way to go, Greg. POTUS Scrotus's next desire, karaoke, is fulfilled and swiftly interrupted after he reveals that Daddy's on the way to join the fun. Logan proceeds to stun the room, not by his rendition of any popular song, but by admitting he wanted the kids at the birthday party and sending a vague apology, quote, if it means that much to them. But as usual, he quickly pivots to business when the personal becomes too uncomfortable. The Alliance largely scoffs at Logan's version of opening up and rejects his business olive branch, but seems to actually take Connor's depressing emotional analysis of them all to heart. The night ends as Connor returns to Willa in his bed. Kendall rides the high of sticking it to Dad. Shiv debates reaching out to Tom. And Roman's happy birthday, Dad betrayal seems to grow into much more with a secret meeting and a tempting offer.
Crush.
And that's episode two.
That was really good. Now I can't wait to do my next one again. That was really good.
It feels good to be done and be as far as I can be from having to do it again a little bit. So you're up next, Alex. No pressure.
How many times did you watch it for that?
Twice.
Okay.
Yeah,
you have to watch it twice.
Yes. Yeah. I tried to just watch it once and come up with one. I was like, I need to confirm all of these words and phrases. So yeah, I definitely watched it more than once.
Yeah.
All right. So we can move into favorite moments. And I've obviously done nothing but talk for the past however many minutes we've been doing this. So I can pass it on to either one of you two if you want to step up.
All right. Favorite moment. I feel like maybe we'll all say this or feel this way, but I had the whole karaoke sequence. Just At first I was like, Connor singing. Well, we were like getting so worked up. We're like, is someone going to sing? They better actually fucking sing. And that would just be such a tease, but that was great. And then the Logan apology in quotes, and it felt like, to me, the family therapy redemption from season one that we were like anticipating at some point. No therapist present. Carrie might think that she can pull that out of Logan, but yeah. You know, he's the master of the whole thing anyways.
Yeah, it's interesting. It feels like a growth in Logan, and not like a real growth, but almost like Carrie convinced him this episode that he could maybe act sorry, even if he technically wasn't. And maybe get something from the kids. Whereas in season one, during that therapy session, he was not giving them a single thing. He was scoffing, whatever. So even the growth of faking it, to me, and we can get into how much we think he was genuine or not. But interestingly enough, it is growth no matter what. I don't know what kind of growth, but yeah, that's good. I didn't write that because I knew someone else would put that because it was great.
That was one of like the best scenes of the show. Not even just this Correct. Episode. I was like, I remember like after the scene finished, and basically obviously it's like the end of the episode, and I was like, holy shit, that was amazing. And they talked about it a lot in the after show of how difficult it can be to do an ensemble scene. But like, I think they mentioned, I guess his name's what, Jesse Armstrong, right? That like the most difficult thing about doing an ensemble scene and the thing you need to nail is that what everyone says has to be like believable and very in character. And it nailed that completely. Everything felt perfectly. All the lines were perfect for the characters and in the moments that they said them.
That's good stuff. I'm going to pivot to funny and go just the Carrie tape storyline. When they first announced that, did you look at Carrie's tape to be an anchor? We looked at each other like, no, because I had no idea that's where her storyline was going to go, or that, you know, being on screen, on TV is what she wanted. I thought she was just going to be like, you know, high up behind the scenes, you know, like a Tom or something like that, but not on screen. And so fucking funny. Like everyone separately watching and laughing at her, Hugo getting caught. So awesome. Good. And the new Jen Roy is just watching and laughing. It's ridiculous. And then, of course, culminates in the Greg scene flopping the information over
the focus group.
I was like
wild.
The arms. I was like, oh my God. I was like, no, like you couldn't say anything worse or more like obviously your own stupid personal opinion. Like classic.
I agree though. I feel like Carrie has kind of been, I don't want to say like a fortress almost, but I didn't expect to see her this vulnerable, especially right. This early. Like open to critics. She always seems like she's been someone who like will throw out a comment or like a quick comment or have like some level of potentially insightful insight. I don't even know if you should use those two words together like that, but yeah. But seeing her vulnerable like this was weird. Not like off-putting, it just was odd.
Well, it's like we all knew she has an angle, right? Like, you know, fucking Logan because you think he's hot and there's real chemistry, like
fair.
Spare me. But I don't think I ever thought about what her angle is. I don't think it ever crossed my mind that it would be like to be on Fox News of the Succession universe and be an anchor. And boy, is that not her fate. That's not her destiny.
And we'll get into it more, but specifically at the end, the last time they mention it, when they're at the karaoke bar and they're saying it to Carrie. First of all, an incredible job of making me feel bad for both Carrie and Logan, who are famously dicks, just like the biggest dicks in the world. They did an incredible job because I felt, even on the second watch, I was like, this hurts me to watch. Like, but Carrie looked vulnerable. You're so right. That's a perfect word to say. Like, she's never put in that position because she doesn't give a fuck enough.
Yeah. Ooh, I also think she never expected it to go this way. Logan's in charge. What she wants is what he will get her.
Yeah.
She thinks she had him in her pocket. And, you know, obviously I'm sure we'll touch on this more, but Roman being like, congrats on your betrayal, Cherry, like kind of thing. And he's like, welcome. Now you're really part of it.
But yeah. Tough scene for Carrie. Honestly, yeah, throughout, you're right though. Making me feel bad for Carrie and Logan is just a pretty amazing feat, honestly, at this point.
It is.
I'll go, I guess, a combo of funny and serious plot. The kids, the siblings, having the chat in the dive bar, I thought was really good. I feel like it was a great blend of all of their individual relationships, like how Shiv sees Connor, how Connor sees them, how Roman sees Connor, how Kendall sees Roman, like all of that combined, I think was perfectly done almost in there. Like Roman was great. And honestly, it sums up his season really well. Or I guess maybe the way I'm now seeing him, it potentially was there and I'm seeing it more of, he actually has somewhat of a level head at times. He's still always there to crack the jokes. I love the Beatle comparison that he makes. And does he not call himself John and then call Kendall Yoko, which feels like a weird thing to say.
That feels classic for Roman. Yeah. Something yeah. weird.
It was just like, I think I rewinded it and was like, did I hear that right? Did he actually call him Yoko? But I thought it was all just good. And I like that Connor, again, like Connor's kind of true motivations come out a little bit. And they talk about it later too, of the Connor's just wants the money. He's past the point of Logan's love while they're all kind of squabbling over it. That point gets obviously brought way more explicitly in the karaoke scene, but I just loved it because there was just, it's just a great, there's a lot of quotes thrown around. They're actually talking strategy. The happy birthday dad thing was funny and sad at the same time, where they're like, this is a betrayal. And they're like analyzing every word, like, take care. Kendall's like, I don't know, bro. That's a little warm. I was like, oh my gosh, they're insane.
Yeah. And it's also just very rare to have them all four on screen for that long. We get the three of them often, but Connor is always thrown in for like a one word type deal. And then he gets like made fun of and walks off, or he just can't deal with it. He doesn't want to listen to it, but it was nice to see them. I'm like all for the sibling moments in this final season. That's coming into the season. That was some of my favorite moments prior to in 1 through 3. So I'm really digging all this stuff. I know it's not going to last. I just know it. And Shiv is really, we'll get to her, but I just feel like Shiv is going to fuck this up somehow. Shiv is like my number one on my watch list because I'm like, girl, stop being so greedy. I love you, but stop it.
Yeah, we'll get to that for sure. And we'll obviously talk about more moments as we talk about, like we've been teasing a little bit, the market watch character analysis at the end, which is kind of the bulk of the episode. We'll talk more in depth about a lot of different scenes. So now we can move more into potentially more lighthearted, which will be favorite quotes. I can go first here since I went last. In the last round, there's so many to choose from, and I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to say what one I want, and then an honorable mention one. The one I want is Tom saying that I could give you a kiss from here. It's like so perfect, because it's obviously a serious moment. Like, Greg is freaking out. Tom ran back there to, like, be present for this, and everyone in the room is watching, and Tom just whips that line out like Logan's going to actually receive it well. It's just so classic, quintessential Tom. I feel like I could show that clip and you would understand who Tom is fully.
I said when we watched it live, I wonder if he improvised that.
Because I would love
that. It felt so, I don't know, the way Brian Cox looked at him back with that little smile. I was like, I feel like he wasn't ready for that line. It was, but in a good way. Like, it all worked out very well. That's a great one. So what's the honorable mention?
The honorable mention line is going to be Sandy in the beginning answering the phone call from Shiv. And she says, is this about Connor's wedding? Because that was a regretful no. I thought that was such a beautifully slid in there line. Made me laugh both times I watched the episode.
Okay, I'm glad neither of those were mine. All right, you want to go next?
Well, no, mine was the Tom and Logan, like, singularly. Damn. I was like, this is so good and so classic Tom. And it felt like a bit of a surprise. It felt like quintessential him, but also kind of like off the cuff in a way, which made it feel more authentic. But I was giggling. I was like, Logan would punch him in the face if there weren't a whole room of news people here.
I fucking love that guy.
I don't think Tom would have said that in season one.
No,
maybe he would have, but not as confidently as that. Like, he knew he could get away with that. Now. He's having fun, and he's really Logan's number one besides Carrie. Like, Tom is his guy. And Logan letting him handle the Carrie thing at the end and them having an understanding without actually having to say anything, it shows a lot. Again, lots of growth I'm seeing now that we're, like, talking this through at a deeper level and we have to really think through the lines and not just laugh at them.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's really nice.
I can totally... Now that I had stumbled my way into the Tom and Greg shipping side of Twitter and social media, I could totally see that quote getting, like, cut into a fan cam. And like, but it's like Tom saying it to Greg, because I mean, it's the same. Greg's tall guy, so like, I feel like I could kiss you from here. I could totally see that happening. I'm sure that'll stumble upon my timeline at some point.
not the first time he said him and Greg should kiss. I wrote the long quote, and it's a Connor quote. I gave it to him, and it's him talking about what kind of bar he wants to go to. And he says, a real bar with chicks and guys who work with their hands and grease, who sweat from their hands and have blood in their hair. And then Roman immediately says, I don't like these guys.
Oh my God. Connor is, I saw something on the internet that was like, Connor's actually the worst of them because he's like weaponizes almost how dumb he is. And like, because he like wants to get involved with like people and like impact their lives way more. And he has no idea who like people, like real people actually are. And this episode was a perfect summation of that. Him in the bar and everything was just so fucking good.
Yeah, I will say he's like the most privileged, right? And hasn't contributed like anything to the business yet, like wants the money more than everyone else. So he's in Logan's ear being like, I just need like a couple more mil, Dad. Like, and then has the audacity to think he can run for president after doing nothing his whole life. So yeah, I think depending on the lens you take and what and the day, he could be the worst Roy sibling.
He walks into the bar and his quote is, America, I've missed you.
Exactly.
Oh, as if he's ever actually been in real America. He's
down the desert in his own head. It's like,
yeah, he like bought an aquifer for the water wars. He's just insane. But I have a little soft spot for him. All right, we can move. I mean, that's pretty much a perfect segue into a little bit of a market watch character analysis of how we are actually feeling about the performance in this episode. We have two episodes now kind of under our belt, so we can even potentially connect to things in episode one, if that's impacting how we're feeling at the moment. I feel like the obvious one to start with, I mean, he's the white whale. He's the octopus that has a tentacle and everything. Logan, I feel like this was a good episode for him. He maybe didn't get the kids on his side for the vote, but I don't know, like the speech in the room was actually electric, even though at the end of the episode he's like, I'm gonna, you know, basically fire all of those people. Like, he can claim some twisted level of moral high ground in his head because he apologized, and he's definitely feeling like he's gonna leech Roman off of the alliance. So I feel like things kind of worked out for him pretty well in this episode.
I compared him to Trump in his speech on the paper boxes, because he was saying a whole lot of stuff, but a whole lot of nothing. Like, I was like, what are you even saying? There wasn't any like actual meat to what he was saying. It was just like, we're pirates. We're going to say things. And everyone's going to be like, I can't believe they said that. It gets like, really.
What else is new with your Nazi fucking news anchors?
But I will say, this is another quote I have when he's just like, is 40 equal to 15? No, good head for numbers.
I love how he calls him pal. It's like so insulting.
Such a dick. Oh God.
I like, they're all clapping and smiling too. They're literally all eating it up in the room.
You have to, or he's gonna fire you. That's on the spot, I feel.
But Greg and Tom seem really concerned in the beginning of it. Like, it was almost like, when is he gonna get to a point? But then when everyone was cheering, Sid, Tom, Greg, they're all like, okay, let's go. Like, even they're buying into it, which is psychotic. I guess they have to. Like, they hitched their wagon to him. They gotta just follow him no matter what he does. A little wacko. But I think his stock is, I don't know where we put his stock last episode.
I don't know that we really did. No one really picked him necessarily, but he's obviously big on the market. So we got to talk about it.
I think it's up by the end with like him being able to call off the meeting for the next day. First of all, I saw the preview for the next episode. They do go to the wedding, thank God. But I really thought they were going to miss the wedding. Logan being like, looking at Roman like, it's the wedding.
That was fucked.
He's like, doesn't matter.
That was fucked up. But I mean, that's Logan, though. I guess at this point, we're kind of numb to those type of things. So they maybe don't even factor in. But I also feel like his position in terms of the sale makes sense. When he was talking about it in the karaoke bar, I felt like he was making the most sense in the room, because he was like, you guys, like, you're gonna get so much money, like, why are you gonna try to push this for what actually amounts to almost like pennies at this point? They're gonna get maybe like 5% more potentially out of it at the risk of everything. And it just feels weird. I feel like he was actually right in that scene.
I mean,
what do I know?
Their pennies are our pennies are their millions. But
yeah,
I also agree. I think this is we're watching on the outside. And we're like, these fucking idiots, like Shiv and Kendall, just like can't see past their like vendetta, right? And their and the betrayal they've had with Logan. So they can't trust him at all, and they think they know better, and they just like want to beat him so bad. But I think he does know in this situation that like he gets Mattson, they're on the same level, and I'm just watching them, and I'm like, you guys are really stressing me out with this. Like, it's not going to be worth it. Like, it's not looking good.
I agree. I wanted to talk to you guys about that, whether or not we thought who was the smarter end of the deal. All episode, we can jump into Shiv if we want, because
yeah, it's fine.
She was like, again, love her, but man, she was awful. Really bugging me all up. Like, when girl Sandy comes, I'm like, I forgot all about girl Sandy, first of all. And that she's hilarious, but she's only there to cause issues. The last episode she was in, the one where Logan gets a UTI, I mean, she is just acting like she's talking to her dad, who is, like Roman says, she's got her hand up his ass, like a meat puppet. And Stewie, but then it makes me think, okay, Sandy, Stewie, Shiv, and then Kendall looks at the numbers and it seems like they could get more. Are they all being insanely greedy, or is Logan losing it like Shiv said? I don't know. But either way, again, take the money and run for me. But they overpromised on Pierce, so they want more money.
I don't think
that's fair.
They're wrong in looking at the numbers, but I think Mattson is a nut job. He's an Elon Musk nut job. He's just chomping on Cheetos with no days of sleep. And he's like, I don't need this. Like, you need me. Like, he'll sell to someone, but it won't be me. And I don't think that's an empty threat, to be honest. They need him more than he needs this. So I think it's somewhere in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It threw me off a little bit when him and Kendall have that conversation. And then Kendall immediately switches sides right after Mattson told him, if you guys push, I'm out. Kendall was kind of all over the place a little bit, but
he wants to blow it up or have a win, right? He's like, only I fuck with my family and my dad. Like, I'm ready to call it. The chaos button was like, it pushed, I think, in his brain.
See, I know him so well. As soon as they hung up, I said, oh, he wants to negotiate now, because Shiv does that little, that's negotiating 101. That's negotiating 102, which is true. Of course, Mattson's going to say, I'm not going higher. What is he supposed to say? I could go a little higher. And then, of course, you negotiate more. So,
yeah. I was blinded by Kendall's past, because I was like, okay, he's all over the place. Shiv, and by extension, a little bit Kendall. Kendall does it a little less, just because he has more like, not random lines, but he talks more non-business stuff, I feel like, than Shiv does. Shiv always feels like it's very on the point. It's always about business. And I feel like she, especially in the karaoke scene, because she talked the most, I felt like afterwards that like she kind of looked a little bit like a fool a little bit. She was very emotional, yelling, and I feel like Logan felt like he was calm and was speaking much more sense. I think with Roman was kind of being calm, and when he was talking, it was measured. He wasn't yelling. He was actually like speaking to the point, and it felt like Shiv and a little bit Kendall were just kind of like going off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, I think that they have the most baggage, right? Roman, the most betrayal he felt was in Italy, but he was already planning to betray their dad with his siblings. So it's like, you know, I think the least baggage between any of the siblings is with Roman. And I think Shiv is on a professional and personal front being fucked by Logan, from like him dangling CEO all last season, and then Tom, the lawyer thing, right? Like icing her out of any good lawyer in the tri-state area. So I don't really blame her for not seeing past it, but it's making me bang my head against the wall. And I feel like everything she did, Kathleen went, oh, no, why? Yeah. Oh, God. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
But I also don't blame her in the way where I don't think that they've ever gotten a chance to stand up to their dad in a way where he was willing to listen, like this episode. So Shiv devolved into being a child again, right? Like, Shiv is like throwing adult jabs at him, but devolving in a way that's like, are you kidding me? Like, there's a point where I forget what she says. But she puts her head in her hands. Like, she's getting so frustrated as she's delivering the line that she like, but you can tell
really good. I'm pretty sure what you're talking about is when she's like, you think that you're always right and you always know best. But what it is that you say what you think, and then everyone around you is so far up your ass, basically, that like they do what it takes to make what you think true. But that doesn't make you always right.
Nailed it.
Yeah. And yeah. I thought that was a good line. And she had a point. I guess it's more for me. The big thing with this, especially when they're all together, is always thinking of them in relation to each other. Like when I had said in the season 4 hype episode that Kendall, when he's with everyone else, had always seemed like the most normal person. Like, obviously, when he's with other people that aren't in the family, like when he's working on his own and if he's interacting with like a random person, like he is obviously sticking out and like a sore thumb and he seems a little wild. But Roman in this scene was so measured and level and was like, hey, like, what are you actually apologizing about? Like, you know, because Italy, like, obviously it hurt us and all these things. And while Shiv and Kendall felt very emotional and like we're getting a little, not, I don't want to say wild again, but it just, the contrast between the two reactions, I think, probably heightened how I felt negatively about how Shiv and Kendall, I'm sure it felt amazing. I mean, they even react afterwards and they're like, how to feel to fuck dad, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I guess from a pure, like thinking about A, their business side of it, I guess B, personally, I'm sure it felt amazing, but the business side felt like it was a little bit of a flop for them.
Speaking of Shiv, I also think her stocks went down for me a little on the personal side as well, because she didn't give one fuck about Connor on this day.
Yeah.
They watched Willow walk out on him. And immediately she's like, okay, yes, yeah, but should the three of us touch base in a separate room about this? She is so selfish that she can't even fake it for her brother. And the everywhere they go, if Roman's the one sticking up for Connor, there's an issue, right?
Yeah.
And he was, even though he was doing some jabs, like there's the jab where they're both like, you can't get better than Willow, so whatever. And then he says like she's fucking some other hard bit younger cock, and then like, you know how it goes with him. His, but he's fucking with them, he doesn't know how to talk to somebody.
He can be kind to him like behind his back and like in gestures, but he can't like verbalize it to him. Mm-hmm. Like he even like turns and says to Shiv when he's fucking with him, he's like, I love him.
Yeah,
like he couldn't just turn his head, you know, 6 degrees and say it to Connor like, I love you, man, like I'm just fucking with you, you know. Because like he was advocating to stay there. And then while Connor's there, he's like, just throw her 10 more grand and all that kind of stuff. So he's an interesting character. But yeah, Shiv was pissing me off with that. Because even Kendall, too, was like, we got to go up. Like, we got to stay. And Shiv was like, immediately, like, all right, we saw him. Let's get out of here. And they were like, let's stop being so crazy.
Yeah, I think she's in a full tailspin right now. Like, personally, she's devolving. And Roman is maturing seemingly a little bit, you know what I mean, which is shocking. I think, you know, she's flopping, Roman's flipping, you know, that's what I see for the stocks. She's
flopping and flipping.
Flipping and flopping, those two. But Shiv's still bottoming out hard, I think, stock wise
I hope she picks it up. I think her only hope is to, okay, I was gonna say rekindle with Tom, which is the worst I could ever say. Like, the only way her stock can go up is to rekindle with a man.
Wow, real feminist stuff. Yeah.
But I like Tom for her. Tom is good for her. She's bad for Tom, you know?
Yeah.
And, but Tom, I've seen this in other shows where you conflict out lawyers, but all you have to do is have a meeting with them and all of a sudden you're a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. And that is fucked of Tom. I had seen it in other shows, so I knew exactly when they're like conflicted out. I was like, no, Tom, you dick. And then they show the scene of Tom being like, so they're all out. Okay, good. So Tom, not great. So Shiv started off on like a shit mood in this episode because of that. But yeah, she's bottoming out. Unfortunately, we're losing a lot of money on Shiv.
Yeah, I think just like we've said, it's just she's taking it personally and professionally in terms of bad things happening to her, while Roman and Kendall, we're not really getting a peek into their personal lives at the moment. So everything seems good to them in comparison. Kendall is upbeat the entire episode.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. We can quickly go through Kendall because I feel like Kendall's holding steady.
Yeah,
but the way he flipped on the Mattson call, the chaos button is going off. And true. I just think it's a matter of time. It's a little like signs of volatility ahead. I don't think anything changed this week, but that's not normal people behavior.
So. I definitely feel worse this week than I did last week. I still agree that he's probably, still floating a little bit of a straight line, but I feel worse about it. Definitely. He was like, opening the episode was classic Kendall. Like, he's got the iPad out, a little iPad kid, and he's like checking all the numbers, and he's like, this is doo-doo.
Yeah.
His show idea, where he's like, it's a show that teaches you how to watch the show. And it was like, that's such a stupid fucking, it's like pseudo-intellectual Kendall idea. And all that kind of stuff was like, all right, yeah, we're here. The whole Buddhism thing where he's like, you know, in Buddhism, they say this, and he tells Roman to just be water and stuff. And I actually felt good when he was like, actually putting out legitimate grievances, like to get Logan to answer for them, you know, like ignoring Connor his whole life, putting Connor's mom in jail, like
yes,
hitting Rome when he was a kid. And I was like, all right, Kendall, let's get it. And then, you know, with him, there's always that underlying worry of he's going to take it too far and not just like kind of take the win and retreat and like kind of regain plan. Like, he's going to keep running. Like, at the end of the, he's sitting and just giggling in the back of the car. And I was like, oh, he might do something a little bad after this.
Yeah, I feel like until they're out, finally, whenever, if that comes,
yeah,
he's always going to be a little bit in, and that could just go from like shallow water to like in the deep end in a blink of an eye.
Listen, I bought the stocks. I'll tell you exactly how they're going. They're going up.
I love it.
One question for you. I didn't clock it, but I know at the bar he ordered club soda and bitters, meaning that's usually his drink. When they're at the karaoke bar, he was pouring champagne. He didn't drink any, right? So he's sober, technically, I think.
Clock if he sipped it or not.
If he's sober, he's doing pretty good. But, like, he seems like drunk Kendall. Like, he seems goofy Kendall. Like, when the chopper goes and he's like, bye, daddy, bye. Yeah. Daddy. He's, like, screaming stuff. I'm like, this guy is just goofed out. My note is literally he's goofed out. And I wrote his, like, hardcore international news, global to hyper local every day. Just what's happening in Africa, Sub-Saharan East, Sub-Saharan West. I'm like, what are you saying?
He's like, I'd watch that. Yeah, Roman's like, no, you wouldn't. Oh, yeah, it's so good. I fucking love Kendall.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Every time the picture comes up and you're wearing like the suit jacket with the hat, I'm like, there he is.
That's my boy. All right. Do we want to, I mean, maybe just a stat. We've talked about Roman, but I'm still in on him going up. The end scene legitimately hurt my heart. And that's how I knew I'm turning the corner on Roman, because that felt bad to me. I was like, oh, bro, like, why are you fucking meeting with him? And he was still kind of holding it off when, you know, like we said earlier, where he's anti the Logan stance that Connor's wedding doesn't matter. And he's kind of like, I should leave, which is classic line to say in the moment. But I feel like he's going to turn his back and go back to Logan.
I think Kieran said it really well in the post-episode chat. It's like when Logan actually likes you or puts focus on you, you feel like you're in the sun or whatever. You know what I mean? And then to see like that through like a crack in the door again or whatever, it's like a addictive thing. And again, he has not been struck down as many times as his siblings. Obviously, you could probably learn from watching that up close and say, why wouldn't it happen to me? But there's always like ego telling you, well, I'm different, or I, you know, that's their whole thing, right? The three of them, Connor, in competition to like be the best, to take over, to be the most, like, you know, the one he's most proud of, et cetera. So I am not shocked. And I figure he'll lean into this. Each episode, too, he's kind of the odd Roy out on the opinions of their approach with Pierce, how much they're putting into Pierce. Why aren't we doing the 100? I liked that. Like, he's always just like not fully bought into Shiv and Kendall's shtick because theirs is so rooted in let's fucking grind dad down into a pulp again. He knows that and it's not his fight. I don't think he's interested in that angle.
Yeah, he could easily convince himself, and he would. There's a lot of evidence to back it up, like you said, that it's not worth it to keep going down this road with his siblings. I almost said the twins.
The twins. Oh, wait. Didn't we read somewhere that Shiv and Kieran, or Shiv and Roman, were supposed to be twins?
I think they were going to be, but I just saw a whole fucking Reddit thing where they found a picture from the intro and like, or no, it was on like Logan's nightstand in the episode or whatever in his living room. And Roman looks significantly older than Shiv. Shiv's actually the youngest. I'll have to find the tweet. I was shocked.
No way. They don't know what age any of these people are. I think they fucked it. I also saw
like the script from the pilot that says that Roman's married.
Yes, it's the that woman with the kid, yeah, and then on Thanksgiving
shuffled that out.
Yeah, exactly. Like on Thanksgiving, he walks into the room and yells at her for watching that show of for whatever. Anyway, one question is how many does Sandy and Stewie need all three of the kids' votes, or just two, or just one? Like, how many do they need? It's who else is in the vote? Because I wasn't
have to say it's all of them.
I thought it was all three of them at least. They needed three more votes.
So Roman's going to fuck it once again. But they're not even doing the vote tomorrow is when they kept saying it. So I think Roman is going to stay with the kids. I think he's going to turn on his dad. I'm just going to put that on the board. That's my like hopeful long shot for Roman. I hope he finally, after three seasons of fucking them over, chooses the right thing finally. But as we get past the wedding and stuff, we're going to get more into the election and things, and who knows what's all going to happen. So
the election, baby. What a perfect segue into my boy, potentially president-elect Connor. Just very quickly, we can talk about him, the fourth Roy sibling. I was fully prepared to write him into stock down while this episode was going on. Willa being in his bed and his little bit of his monologue at the end convinced me not to. This is what I talked about in the season four hype episode of I was waiting for them to have a real moment to discuss Connor's kind of place in the four of them and his place potentially in relation to Logan. While it was Kendall who brought up that Logan has kind of ignored Connor his whole life, and it's really sad what Connor talks about when he's like, I don't need love because like I've lived my whole life without it. But I feel like this might potentially be the first step in towards getting to that actual cathartic moment that I was looking for when I purchased my little bit of an investment in Connor before the season. I think I'm not going to say we're trending fully up, but I mean, Will is back in the bed. The wedding's happening next episode. He kind of got some things off his chest. So I'm not as sad about Connor's position after this episode as I was after last episode. And that's all I'll say.
If I didn't take the Carrie storyline as my favorite moments, I have Connor saying the like good thing about having a family who doesn't love you is you don't need it. Like, you know, and if Will is there and she doesn't love me, that's fine. I don't need it. If she's not there, that's fine. I don't need it. And it was devastating, right? I think it was a true moment out of him. We don't get many from Connor. He's just like goofy. A whipping post, and you know, he's goofy and saying insane things like blood on their heads or whatever. But and even Will, I would say Will is stocked up for me, and you know, I'm happy that it's always, you know, she's like, everything feels so vivid today, right? Like, it's so funny, like she was losing it, and rightfully so, right? You're about to marry this guy you obviously don't love, and as much as it's for money most likely, I think that Connor, I think she feels something for Connor. I don't know if it's pity. I don't know what it is, but like she feels something for Connor, and she's doing it for him still. You know, if she truly didn't feel a single thing for him, she would just bounce, right? You don't need to marry him. Like I don't know. She stocked up for me. I love that scene at the bottom of the stairs when she can't articulate anything. And one by one, the new gen Roys are walking and being like, what's going on here? Are you okay? Yeah. And then later
like,
when
I'm
she's
I'm pretty
in
sure
bed.
The bride's like first team, like you're supposed to be at the rehearsal dinner. And she's like, I don't know. That was good.
Yeah. But even him stalking her the whole episode. And
I think she just found a place she likes.
Yeah. He's like, I think it's just factory settings. And she's like, no, it's not.
Oh my God. Great stuff.
He's like, why is her dot at a dry cleaner's? Is that drugs? Like,
yeah. Well, what
so
do we just
for an aquarium or pets?
What do we think happened with that?
I think like sometimes the dot is not accurate because of like, cell towers and stuff. I think she was literally on her way home at a bar with people. I literally think it was just like New York. It's hard to register where someone is specifically.
Kendall's like, let's throw it on the big screen. Oh God. Okay. All right. Enough of whipping down on Connor. Yeah. So last, I guess, slight lightning round. Didn't get a ton from them. Actually, we did get a little bit of Tom. We mentioned a little bit. He's moving up slightly. I mean, Logan said that Sid's gone. So now he's no longer, what'd she say, her social secretary, which is obviously a dig and not true. But so Tom's maybe potentially sole head of ATN at this point. He got the Carrie situation handled via Greg. He did pull the, depending on your perspective, the boss move to put all the lawyers in conflict.
I just don't know how I feel about this Tom episode. And I guess an extension, Greg, talk about both of them at once. Greg, to me, is just, he's just turned into an asshole. So I don't know.
He's Tom's mouthpiece again, but like, I feel like less Greg color than usual. You know what I mean? It was a classic Greg disaster, but I think there's not much going on with him right now otherwise. But I had Tom as like stable. Like, yes, Sid is maybe on her way out, but in the same breath, you know, he's promising Roman ATN first. So like, is Roman going to be Tom's boss? I think everything's an empty promise or threat until it happens with Logan, but it's
great
just
point.
In with one out with the other kind of thing. And I don't know how that will go for him.
He did almost get that late night booty call from Shiv. She thought about it.
So. I wasn't sure what she was attempting there, but I think you're right. It probably was a booty call. But I don't know if it's also like a booty call / information gather.
I don't think she's ever wanted a booty call from Tom. I think it was like to bitch, you know, that's who she'd call and be like, can you believe my dad did this? Like that was, she'd give him the tea and he collected the information over the time. And then when she pushed him too far, he used it against her. That's just, she used to just call him to be like, my fucking family, you know, and now she is fucking no one. So
that seems like the reasonable take.
Not even Mondale.
Yeah.
Logan putting Tom on the spot and being like, sprinkle a little sugar on it for me, give me an intro. I'd be so mad. I can't be though. Yeah. And then I think he's in a really good spot with Logan. Like I said, the whole Carrie situation, Logan really trusted him with it. And then Logan or Tom gives it to Greg. And I feel that this was an easy conversation to have. I know it's Logan's girlfriend, but the conversation, exactly how Greg put it, is, look, there's something there. You're not quite there. Like, you don't want to just, we don't want to throw you in when you're unprepared because, you know, there's nepotism everywhere and all this stuff. It's an easy conversation. He gives it to Greg and Greg fucks it so hard. Like, the thing he says is, tell her she did okay, but not too good. And he's like, oh, the consensus is great. Yeah. Tom thinks you're great. And it's like, I get delegation is a part of business. And as a boss, you should delegate. You should know Greg's going to fuck it. And it's going to come back because Carrie was about to start sprinting mad to someone. But then immediately Logan was like, I heard from Connor, the kids are going to fuck the vote tomorrow. So it kind of got squashed. Carrie didn't have a chance to be like, what the fuck? But to me, that Tom, I'm like, come on, can't you just do that yourself? Logan told you to handle it. Why aren't you handling it? But I guess that's showbiz.
I don't think he wanted to be that close to it. Because that would also be very more obviously from Logan. You know what I mean? Like, I think part of it was like, one, Tom bitched out, I think. But two, it was just,
definitely bitched out.
Greg's his lackey. It just breaks some Greg's, you know?
I think Greg at some level liked it, though.
Well, Greg fucked it so hard and then goes, I did the job. So classic Greg to just think, just to have done and gone through the motions. And even no matter how you graded on it, A to Z, I did it. Done. Nailed it.
Yeah. I love how Tom kind of gives him the reminder too of like, he's talking to Greg almost through Greg when he tells him to do the line of like, do you really want it this way? Like all the whispers and all that kind of stuff. So maybe potentially hinting at Greg, like your spot isn't, you know, so secure on your own as well, based on just because you are a cousin of the family. Potentially.
I love that Carrie called it immediately, though. She's like, so Tom is saying this and sent you to do it. Like, it's just very obvious.
She's whip smart a lot.
Yes, she's on it.
Which is, again, back to our point in the beginning when it was kind of wild to see her so vulnerable and, like, disarmed.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, her stock's low, baby. Yeah, Carrie's stock's dropped hard.
Sorry, Carrie.
You know who else stocks are low? Jerry. Yes. I'm worried. Why? Yep. I miss something about him icing her out or, like,
it was
I'm just
the,
making sure I didn't miss something. I know he was frustrated with her in that room, but even back in, I was reading something that was talking about maybe the original Gojo stuff. He just didn't want her, or Pierce stuff. He cut her out of that too. Like there's some level that he doesn't trust her these things. Maybe this transition of power thing. He just knows that she's loyal to whoever's in charge. So maybe he's like, I don't want you in the room, but worried for my girl a little bit.
I too was shocked by that comment, like no Jerry, like hard no Jerry, which was shocking. I thought I missed something too on the rewatch. I didn't really, besides them laughing at Carrie,
Which is so good.
And it wasn't her. It was Hugo.
Hugo's an idiot.
Yeah, he is. And that bit of Carolina being like, no, you open your computer. Yeah, give it a go. I was like, don't give it. Smash your computer over your knee. That's a better play.
It just felt like relatable corporate shit, right? Like, funny. No, we're all laughing at this flop thing someone did.
Every time my boss asks me to share my screen in a meeting, even though I'm like never actually doing anything, it's always like, okay, let me just like like triple check everything that's going on. Okay, and share my screen.
So yeah, go on do not disturb so no one can ping you and be like, what the fuck's up with this person?
So much that could go wrong. Oh, it's just at any time. I've lived
that
it.
So I guess that's kind of it, unless anyone wants to hurt up a straggler.
I just want to shout out Jess for being an angel.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Biggest angel. Every time I'm like, God bless her soul. I hope she's getting fat checks. Because
I hated how mean Roman was to her.
Yeah. Get a car. I was like,
yeah. It's like, fuck you, bro. You don't know. Yeah. You don't know what Jess does.
Yeah, she doesn't work for you. She works for Kendall, first of all. Yeah. Kendall's a Buddhist now. He's chill.
Yeah, just be water, bro. Just chill out. Jess is on it. All right.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm good.
You're good? Cool.
I hate when it ends.
Yeah, I know. We can always take it offline. All right, so that's going to do episode 2, rehearsal. We will obviously be back next week for episode 3, whatever it ends up being called. We're Kathleen spoiled a little bit that we're at the wedding, which is okay. I mean, personally, I love it. Sounds like we got a little bit of a Connor episode going on. Obviously, this Roman situation is going to get a little bit deeper, so I'm excited for that. And if you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe on whatever you are listening on. Like I said at the top of the show, top of the hour, we're covering a lot of stuff at the moment. So we're doing what? Obviously, Succession. Yellow Jackets is our other Sunday night, I guess Friday night, technically Friday morning obsession at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's been fantastic. We're covering that as well. The Mandalorian is something we're currently covering. Shadow and Bone, we just wrapped that up. Amazing Netflix show that feels a little underrated. I feel like I don't hear a lot of people talking about it, but we seem to love it. So get on that for sure. And yeah, that's kind of it. BingeTownTV.com is your home for everything BingeTown, everything aggregated into one spot, one-stop shopping. Can't get much better than that. And I think that's it. We'll be back with Alex's wonderful executive summary of episode 3 next week. So be sure to tune in for that. And as always, we are BingeTown TV. And thank you for listening.
And fuck off.
And fuck off.
Fuck off. We're pirates. We're pirates. That is.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.